Good evening, fellow Pacificans. This is the National Finance Committee meeting for October the 26th, I believe. And we're going to go ahead and I'm going to act as acting chair while our regular chairperson gets on the telephone call. And we'll start with our secretary, R. Paul Martin, taking the role. Take it away, R. Paul.
Okay. Alonzo Brown. Mike Jones.
Here.
Alberto Loera.
I'm here.
R. Paul Martin. I'm here too. Simon Pius.
Present.
Summer Reese. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. John Wenger. LeVarn Williams.
Present.
Bruce Wolf.
Here.
We have seven, and that's a quorum.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to start on a sort of a temporary agenda, if it's all right with all of the members present. I'm sure that when our chairman comes on board, she might want to review it, given the situation before us and the fact that we are already almost 1 month into the fiscal year, and we still have budgets to review and submit for adoption to the National Board. We will try and focus today, as long as I'm sitting in this acting ad hoc temporary chair, to focus on the KTFA budget, and hopefully we'll get done with it today. And hopefully, if everything works out okay, we will adjourn with a successful evening in reviewing the Berkeley budget. With us, if that's okay with the group, is that okay?
Question.
Yes, sir.
We haven't. We've got some minutes that we haven't approved, and some
okay.
of them have been posted for a while now. And I'm wondering if we could put on the agenda approval of at least some minutes. And we don't have to read them. We can move to dispense with the reading of the minutes since they've been posted for a month or more. So,
well, why don't, if it's okay with the group, why don't we do that? Do you guys mind doing that approval, adoption of minutes, members present? With hearing no objections, go ahead, or Paul.
Okay.
Take the lead on this one.
Well, okay, is that all the budget? We have to approve the budget before we start doing the budget. We have to approve the agenda before we start going through the agenda. So there might be somebody else who has another agenda item.
So am I hearing that we're going to do minutes and then we're going to review the KPFA budget as the agenda for tonight's meeting, guys?
Sounds
are there
good.
Any objections? Are there any objections?
No.
Will you please note, Mr. Secretary, that those are basically the two items for tonight's agenda?
Okay.
Unless our chairman would like to add stuff when she gets back on. Our secretary, R. Paul, made a good idea. Are members present willing to dispense with the reading of the minutes and proceed to adopting the minutes that are before us, and that our secretary will tell us which meetings he will bring before us, which minutes?
Okay, I would move that we approve the minutes of the public session of September 21st, 2010.
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections to R. Paul's motion to adopt the minutes?
And I further move that we dispense with the reading of the minutes.
Second.
Are there any objections to this motion by our secretary? Hearing none, the minutes stand approved. Will you please note that on our website, sir?
Well, I'll note it in the minutes, and that's where it'll go. So yeah.
Andale. Do you have any more minutes, Mr. Secretary?
Well, we have, but those are the ones that are the oldest, so we got that out of the way. That's good enough right now, I think. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, our next item on the agenda is the review of the KPFA budget, and I think that the Excel file has been sent out to everybody, and at this point in time, I would ask Simon Pius, treasurer of KPFA, to start, and again, Tracy, LaVarne, and Arlene, feel free to assist in the in the setting of this budget for us. I know it's been tiring and very hard for the parties involved, so let's get started on it. Go ahead, Simon. You've got the mic.
This is Summer.
Oh, hello, Summer.
Hi.
Hey, Summer.
Hey, hi, Alberto. Are we on the stream?
Yes, and we've just started.
Okay, very good. What agenda did you hack together an agenda before you went on the stream?
We put a temporary agenda. Maybe you might want to change it a little bit later on, but right now Simon Pius is about to start going over, and friends, Tracy, LaVarne, and Arlene are going to start going over the
KPFA
budget.
Thank you. That's what I anticipated we'd be doing. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead, Simon.
Okay, good. Yes.
Madam Chair, I turn over the chair to you.
Thank you so much, Alberto. And I assume the roll was called and all of that already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Simon.
All right. So I'll take a couple of minutes to kind of set the stage here, and then, you know, we'll soon leave it to questions, actually. But I sent out the file to the committee this afternoon, early afternoon, around 2, so hopefully everybody has received that. If you are still in need of receiving that file, let me know, or if you can't open it, have technical difficulties, let us know. If not, I assume everybody has access to that now, correct?
I am checking.
This is the file named KPFA Budget of 10-26-10 proposed to NFC.xls, right?
Correct. Good. So that file, contains all of the tabs that normally have been the template, I believe, and it contains a few additional tabs. One is the first tab on the left side is my treasurer's summary. It's a write-up and kind of a numerical summary, too, of the most important parts of the budget and how they compare to last year. And another tab in there has assumptions and historical data. Actually, that's a common tab to all of these templates. The third or fourth tab is the KPFA business manager's notes that were added quite recently before she, issued this last version and handed it back to me. So if some of those things are more or less important, I hope that you can essentially look at the treasurer summary a little bit. I'll speak to that. Or you may be looking at the tab that's called the budget. This is really the P&L, the income statement. And the one next to that, the tab next to that, is called the cash flow. And that's kind of the other second most important one. So I think for the most part, this discussion centers around the P&L, the income statement, the tab that's called Budget FY 2011. The highlights here are, of this budget, that we have revenue plan of about $3.6 million total revenue, which would be a slight increase over what is projected to be the ending result for the year ending September. The results for that period, by the way, are not final, or I can't be sure that they are final. I'm still going with, sort of projected estimates for the most part. One item, the most important item in revenue is listener support. That item is actually planned to grow by about 7% in this plan. The main, the operating expenses are perhaps the biggest change here over current year. They're supposed to be reduced by 20%. Much of that happens in compensation. and all the items that lead, that, you know, are part of compensation. A little bit more on that later. Central services are calculated here as a straight 19.5% of listener support only. And that leads to a net income of about $270,000, which, you know, compares very favorable to where this year, this last year ended. And then there are, however, much larger cash and capital items required next year than this year. Namely, we have some equipment that need to be purchased, but primarily we have the requirement to repay to the national office the net amount of $155,000 for, you know, outstanding past due central services. So that leaves a surplus of about $53,000 in this plan. That would compare to a projected deficit this past year of $500,000. That's essentially the main metrics that we see. The cash part of the plan has us starting this year at October 1 with a cash balance of $140,000 or so. I am not 100% sure that that has been confirmed by, you know, final balance sheet, but that's my assumption now coming from the business manager. And in this plan, we would end up with about $240,000 next year, so a cash flow of almost positive $100,000. Are there any questions or sort of directional comments, or should I go on a little bit more, or do you have any particular directions you would like to take this now?
I have a question. This is Bruce. I have a question, but
yes.
I can wait if everyone wants to wait.
Well, I would like to let Simon finish. Simon, do you want to go ahead and conclude, and then we'll take questions at the end? Okay. Or Simon, if you'd like, we can take questions now. You're the one making the presentation, so.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you know, the only other sort of part that I would like to maybe spend a minute on is the process and the context of this plan right now, the way I see it. And maybe I should do that before we go into open questions.
Please. And then I'll take a cue.
So I've written this up in the part of my treasurer summary that I call process and development. The last two paragraphs there are the most current ones because I think last meeting we already gave you a little bit of an update. We had some things come to a vote last Tuesday, and that was after the LSB meeting for KPFA of October 16. There was a station management proposed budget that was presented there. And the development here that leads to this particular version of the budget now is that I've taken that very version of the budget that was presented by station management and the business manager on October 16. I've taken exactly that version and made a few adjustments that were essentially directed by the executive director and the CFO. And we ended up making only about four adjustments to the numbers from station management. Really not that big a deal. I'm going to just go through these quickly. Namely, we restored the central services rate to be 19.5% of listener revenue when it was before 18.5%. We finalized the trade-off that was included in the repayment of past due central services. It was previously included as a trade-off of $150,000 of CDs that could be applied to the debt, and we really ended up with a trade-off of a CD of only $100,000. So that actually increased the cash outflow. Then we added back $25,000 of legal expense because they are so predictable that we will need more than what was in the station management budget. And after that, that really changed, you know, and after that we also mainly reduced the compensation expense by $120,000 to make this plan work. So there were also two small revenue adjustments, but they actually practically zeroed themselves out. They were not even worth getting into. So really the difference between this budget here and the management proposed budget at the LSB meeting of October 16 is largely the compensation level, and you know, has been reduced by $120,000, which allowed the additional expenses or cash outflows that I just described that are required from the national office. So essentially, at this point, I see this budget as being ready to be voted on. There is potentially one or two balance sheet type items that, you know, could be confirmed, but it's a plan and it's probably going to have some flaws somewhere along the line. And clearly, September is not a closed period, so there could be some changes that I would suddenly affect the plan. But frankly, every day that passes, it could lead you to make, you know, a change to one or another number on this plan. That's just the nature of plans. The one item that I'm not sure about really makes me a little nervous is the final level of accounts payable at the station. It was assumed, I assumed it to be $60,000 because that's what it sounded like about 2 weeks ago. And I have a sense from some records that I saw from the national office that actually accounts payable at KPFA are really more like $120,000 or so. Either way, that doesn't change the P&L for this. That just means that, well, there may have to be a little bit more paid off in accounts payable than would normally be the case. But I don't think this needs to lead to an adjustment, because ultimately, you know, accounts payable is a fluctuating thing in the regular course of business. So at this point, I'm happy to either entertain any questions or have someone essentially, you know, confirm that, you know, what needs to be done with this budget before we can actually come to a vote for approval.
Thank you, Simon. Are you ready to take questions now?
Yes.
Okay, so I had heard Bruce and then Lavarne, and I'll take people as they come. So go ahead, Bruce.
Alberto.
Okay.
Thanks, Simon, for your report. It was great. I just have a question. It would be instructive for me. Did you say that you're projecting the listener revenue to go up by 7%? And I just wonder how you arrived at that percent.
How we arrived at that is, of course, a key question. It is only the most important and most variable and uncertain part of the budget is, you know, the listener revenue. It's based on, of course, pledges and pledge goals that were derived by station management and those who have input into that at the station. And then, you know, other parts of the revenue total are actually more or less expected to be the same as last year. But listener revenue as a function of pledges and the timing of pledges, it just sort of turned out that the fall drive, for example, this year, more of those pledges will fall into October than fell into September. And, you know, when closing September, that became apparent. Oh, yeah, we actually are expecting to get more of this in October. And so we were able to adjust that part right away. That's one part of the story. And the other part of the story is, well, it kind of needs to be where it is to make the plan work. You know, it's simply that way. There is no real science to it. It's, of course, a judgment call. But several people have arrived at this kind of number that within 100,000 of, you know, where it is, including Arlene, including Ahmad, including Amelia, the program or development director at the station. So it seems to be something that, it seems a reasonable target. It is, in my judgment, only slightly optimistic, of course.
Arlene to the stack.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Laverne, go ahead.
Oh.
Having trouble hearing, though.
You have trouble hearing?
There you are. Now I can hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Right.
Okay. No. There's a lot of, scratching
static
on the line. Static, yeah.
I wonder why that is.
I know, huh? Okay, try again, please.
Here we go. Okay, for the cash for September 30th for KPFA, we have $101,903. Simon.
That's what you have as an ending balance at September?
Yeah, these are for September. These are preliminary.
Having trouble hearing you. Sorry.
$101,903.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Very, very much so.
So then, clearly, that will, you know, we should adjust to that and any other final numbers. It doesn't necessarily change anything dramatically or create the need to change, I think, the contents. But it obviously takes the beginning and ending balance down by about 40,000, right?
Right. Because you had 141 as the end in balance, and we have cash. We have cash, unrestricted cash of 101,903.
What line is this, please?
What's that?
What line is this?
Well, this is on the cash flow. It's row 54.
Thank you.
So it seems odd that the station manager, business manager, wouldn't, you know, that you'd think that cash would be the first and safely stated number, by, you know, 10 days after close. But I'll take your number for it. So if that is 101, then the beginning and ending balance obviously come down by 40,000.
Right. 101,903. Okay. And the other item is that for emergency alert system, I sent out the information. John had sent us some information probably about a week ago, and I finally sent it to the Finance Committee today. And it shows that for KPFA, Michael Yoshida has gone ahead. He only needs to get a piece of equipment that costs $2,000. So I don't know I'm looking at the cash and capital items, so I don't see the $2,000 for the emergency alert system. So we might want to ask Michael when he plans to do that. So that would be another $2,000 for cash, and that will definitely happen. And the other item I had here on the accounts payable, right now, I just want to let you know the status. I don't know if you've gotten something from Maria or you had seen something that Efren had prepared. So what we have is Efren is going over all the payables, the vouchers for KPFA, and so far there are a lot of corrections that need to be done. So unless you have a report that was run by Efren from the general ledger, the age report, we'll see what that is. We're still working on that, and Efren's working on that, and we can talk a little bit more about that perhaps in closed session. But I can't really confirm, you know, what the accounts payable is. And the other thing is that I have numerous times have tried to what we'll have now is a running total on your FTE hours or FTEs at the end of each pay period, and at the end of September, the FTEs for KPFA were 30.11 full-time equivalents. So So just wanted to update you on those couple items and ask about the EAS system, emergency alert system.
So on the on that emergency alert system, no, that's clearly not in the plan. But if it's $2,000, it seems relatively not the most significant impact. And of course, I feel that at some point, you know, you have to essentially draw the line. Because, as I said, any single day I look at this budget and you know something else, you could be making a change or another update, of course. So I, you know, I just don't know when the, this should be voted on. I mean, I think the most important things should be essentially settled, but I'm not sure that $2,000 items per se require, you know, necessarily a change to the proposed budget.
You know, I this, you know, it doesn't, I'm just letting you know that that's, and that the other stations, it's going to be more than that, about $3,000. And if you need to correct the cash at the beginning of the month, can you just drop the number in there and send it out?
Yes, I could. So so that leads me to the question, you know, what other processes do you see this budget needs to go through before the NFC would vote on it? I mean, do you need to, LaVarne, this is actually directed at you, do you need to have this run or sort of validated and, you know, inspected a little bit by Efren, the master of the template, is that something you would like done? So that
he did that today.
Did that already?
Yeah, I had him look at it, make sure it looked like everything was okay. He said it looks like you could consolidate. The other thing I just want to go over perhaps is that some of the items that Maria had on the sheet, and just to confirm that you said these are not in what you have done here, and I don't believe they are. And that was the one where she had she reduced for the health benefits for those over 65. Now you didn't put you did not you have the regular benefits for those individuals because that's what Arlene has, I believe. And you don't have that, and she had put in, she said, $3,600 as for the co-pays for these people over 65.
We didn't go with her personnel figures. We took mine.
Right. Okay.
And because looking at that, that would, in effect, put us in a position of self-insuring the people over 65, that does not look like a good idea.
It's kind of Walmart-ish.
Yes.
So so this is a good point that you're making, asking LaVarne. I think I need to point out to anyone reviewing this budget sooner or later that the way we have arrived at the final number, I'm now essentially directing you toward the P&L tab and row 63. Is by making this what I call the mandated correction. And that is the tool I've used to represent essentially the reconciliation between what Maria submitted, bottoms-up details, and what Arlene has as her mandated top-down plan.
Exactly.
And so it's possible that Maria had some of the, rather debatable or questionable benefits, savings in this plan. She may or may not. It's hard for me to tell, frankly. But when it comes down to the bottom line of total salaries and related expenses, it now matches more or less what Arlene is targeting.
Right.
What you can't do from the detail in these tabs is use what the exact FTE count is each month, because obviously it's whatever Maria had, and it needs to be, and the mandated correction needs to be run through the detail of, you know, exactly who is on payroll.
Okay. Thank you. Alberto, I believe, is next.
Yes. I'm trying to just get a very quick response to my question. I can't really figure it out too much.
Yeah.
But this is the question. You are indicating a 7% increase in listener support for this year, as opposed to last year's listener support, is my first part of the question. And the second part is, last year's listener support, I take it, was not enough to cover the expenses. And so how does that work for the 2011 budget? Am I making myself more or less understandable there, Simon?
Well, let me try. I mean, essentially, listener support is row 4 in the income statement tab. And, you know, it isn't really associated with expenses, right? So listener support is driven by pledges and the timing of their collection, so the fulfillment rate. So last year, it turned out it only was $2,590,000, at least preliminary, and that ended up being quite low, actually, because of September's number being quite dramatically below what we would have expected. We could have easily gotten $2.7 million last year. Sometimes these things are a little bit, the timing can lead to a variance, because when the collections come in from the fall drive, right? Because the fiscal year is essentially framed by two fall drives, and where exactly that listener revenue then comes in is hard to predict. And I think last year we ended up with relatively less than expected in September. That flows now into October and is almost in itself a reason why it's reasonable that there would be a slight increase. How this relates to net income and, you know, and bottom line is really a different question, because that has to do with the expense line.
Well,
pieces on the income.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Well, my question was, if last year was $2.75 million actual money coming in from listener support, this year you're projecting how much? How much is that budget projecting, Simon? How much did you say the number was?
$2,760,000.
No,
for this year, and last year it was $2,590,000.
I can explain a piece of that.
Thank you. No, thank you. It's kind of making sense in my mind. Go ahead and try and explain this.
Go ahead, Arlene.
One thing that I got from the management was an agreement, and we set dates for 4 additional days of fundraising this year. And so figuring those at an average of $25,000 collected for KPFA, we added $100,000 there. And then the other place that we did an increase was in the donations, and that was an additional mailing. And I'm not sure that got reflected in
yes, we have that in there, yeah.
Okay. So those were the two things that made some difference in the income level. One additional mailing that was committed to basically promoting Al Jazeera, and the other is 4 additional days of fundraising.
You know we're on the open stream, Arlene.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. Okay, I have some questions about this, but I want to keep with the stack. I believe Tracy was next. Thank you, though, for that clarification, Arlene.
Yeah, I wanted to point to the extra days of fundraising, which I think are fairly concrete. I also want to, I guess, point out the fact that a lot of people are going to lose their jobs under this budget plan, and I think everyone felt when going over it that we needed to give the station a chance to try to ramp up the fundraising a bit and not err on the side of so impairing station functions that you would get into a downward spiral where you would be able to fundraise even less. There is kind of a fine line there. So I think that we felt, in all fairness, that it was appropriate to, to tithe pretty closely to what had been doable in previous years. We're pretty much in that place, and then put in some concrete extra days of fundraising to justify any increase. So that's really where the listener revenue figures are coming from. And as you can see, we have a very small surplus as is, and we are making substantial expense cuts.
Thank you, Tracy. Did you have more?
No.
Okay. Was there someone else on the stack? Because I do have some questions, but I don't want to cut anyone off.
This is Mike.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm looking at some of the budgeted revenue for FY11, and I'm comparing it to FY09.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it's interesting because, for example, website income budgeted at $96,000, and the FY09 audited was zero.
Those are classification differences.
Exactly.
Some of them can be explained, but they're shifting of categories.
Right.
That's what I was wondering. In general terms, what kind of plan is there, aside from 4 additional days of fundraising, to maximize revenue, maximize income? I mean, are there going to be any efforts on behalf of the LSB to generate some fundraising activities or events? I know I'm fairly new here, and I don't know everything that goes on, but I know at KPFT that we don't depend strictly on the income that we have budgeted, because we know that that may not always happen. So pretty constantly we're doing little extra events, some that bring in $200-$300, some that bring in a couple $1,000. Our golf tournament is next month, and that'll be several $1,000 income. What is KPFA planning on doing any kind of additional fundraising activities to perhaps offset any potential differences in the actual versus budgeted revenue?
Okay. Tracy for the stack.
Go ahead, Tracy. You can take that.
Okay. Well, we do community events, generally once to twice per month, generally speaker tours. They generally do pretty well. They don't make a fortune, but we are expecting to net $10,000 to $15,000 in doing those, and that's an ongoing activity. The LSB is undergoing a fundraising training on November 6th for 4 hours, which will hopefully jumpstart some LSB fundraising. Historically, it hasn't really happened. We do have an awful lot of people on our board who insist that fundraising is really important coming up this year. So I think it's reasonable to assume that there might be a little revenue coming from that source, but I don't think at this point anybody felt it was concrete enough to be able to add it to the budget. In other words, it's hoped that it will materialize, but there isn't really anything solid to base it on. Otherwise, there's certainly an attempt to generate as much website income as possible, especially off and between fund drives, and I think that's something that the station takes seriously and needs to take more seriously. Right now, that's what we do, and I accept the criticism that maybe there, other sources of revenue need to be explored on an ongoing basis. We do intend to hire a development director full-time and pursue some grant opportunities, but again, it hasn't happened yet. So that's kind of where we are right now. We've had a management gap, and so there are probably some good ideas in the pipeline that may not materialize into revenue in practical terms right away.
Thank you, Tracy. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put myself on the stack, unless there's anyone else who wants to speak right now. Is there anyone else?
Can I ask a quick question?
Is that Bruce? Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, line 94, I'm just curious. That's the national board expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it shows zero. And
it shouldn't.
I know that you know, in our budget we had to put in you know, an amount of money in there. We didn't really want to either, but we did. And I'm just wondering if
Simon, what happened to national board expenses?
What I'm understanding from KPFA's management is that two things, and you can look at the row just below that, the LSB, which is also kind of low compared to what you expect, what you see this year. Number one, on the national board expense, clearly the whatever expenses were actually incurred there are not reflected there in 2010 either. I mean, you see a 2010 number of $300. So clearly, if there were expenses, you know, that were incurred during the end, the year ended in September, they're not recorded in that line, and it seems reasonable to assume that that row is not really used anymore, period. So whatever there needs to be with the National Board is counted in travel somewhere else.
No, it's probably just missing, frankly.
But there were only $300 there in the year ending September, so.
That's a billback issue because central services weren't, you know, the billbacks weren't paid.
There you go.
Simon, we used to have $17,174 in that column.
No, that's the local. Yeah, so that's the local board expense. That's below that.
Okay. Then that's misstated. That's supposed to be national board expense. The local board doesn't spend $17,000.
No, it's the election.
There is no election in 2011. There is no election in 2011.
Right.
No, but we're paying for the one in 2010. This is October 2010 is when most of this happens, the LSB election.
But it would have been accrued in 2010, most of it. The majority of those bills would be reflected in the 2010 budget.
My recollection is that $17,000 was originally pegged to national board expenses. So I'm not sure. I'll go upstairs and look at it a bit more, but I think that figure can be assumed to cover board travel expense.
Yeah, it's more realistic that that would be the case for four meetings a year, for four members to travel there, et cetera.
I can tell you this hasn't changed in months.
Yeah, Simon is right. Yeah, well, like I said, what we're doing now is that we have Efren going through the vouchers for KPFA for over the year, and we're reclassing and a number of entries, a large number of entries. So we'll look at this, like you said, it's in the bill back for national. Here was actually the general ledger.
Oh, I see. LaVon, are you saying that there would have been board expenses that should have been recorded, but they were actually kind of in accounts payable or central services payable?
If you combine central services with bill back, that's where it should be. Our task here, which we're doing, we tried to get started a lot earlier, but we're looking at all of the expenses at KPFA. So we should have that. I'll have that cleaned up. I'm not sure. I'll have it cleaned up so that we will. So we can get this, so it'll just be reclassing for the budget. And I'll get that to you.
Okay, thank you. I had a couple of questions. What has, with all of the back and forth on staff, maybe Arlene wants to answer this, but what is the final number of staff reductions? Has that been settled between the various budgets? Because I don't see an easy pop out here that's telling me what's been decided upon on that issue.
I'm pretty sure we're ending up at about 23.5 FTEs.
Okay.
We've got one final meeting tomorrow with Ricardo to go over, make sure we've got all of our T's crossed and I's dotted, and we'll be moving forward within the next few days.
Okay. So this would be the 4.46 FTE reduction, total of four actual people?
It's more than that.
Okay, that's what's in the budget right now. KPFA's business management.
Actually, what's in the budget right now under personnel costs is my figure, and that's based on the 23.5.
That's based on 23.5. Okay.
Yeah, we're at 30.5, I believe, in May or June.
Okay.
So it is full scale. It's about 7 FTE total, although a little bit of that was done, I guess, in June or July.
Okay.
With the rest to follow.
All right.
Keep in mind that a lot of those cuts were in hours, and so they didn't involve reductions. There will be some in this case, but the earlier cuts were all in hours, and so did not involve any decrease in benefits.
Okay. Hold on. You're saying with those many reductions, there's no decrease in benefits?
Is that early in the earlier cuts?
In the earlier cuts. Okay. Thank
you. Made. Yeah.
Okay. And then the next question I have. I mean, I personally feel it's highly unrealistic to project increased income this year, frankly, over last year. I mean, our pledge drive just came in. There's a firestorm of email going on about all this, but it came in, 300,000. 350,000 short, something like that, of its goal here at KPFK. And it's clear from looking at these figures that, $100,000 less was made last year at KPFA than the year before. And I think projecting making an additional $174,000 is just very unrealistic, frankly. And I also see that it looks like the major donor is projected to be up by $67,000. I can't imagine why anybody would project major donors being up by that much. Is that?
No. That's a classification issue. If you take a look at the 2009 audited and the FY 2010, the two figures added together are not terribly different. The major donor 1K is slightly increased due to an extra development mailing that Arlene put into place.
Okay. Well, it's saying it says FY 2010 pre-audit was 40,000, and then it's projecting 67,000 additional.
No.
There's
classification issues. The 144 is lower to 94,
and that's the
classification of the type of donors.
Okay.
So it's an increase. It was 180 and 180, and it's an increase to 200, specifically because of the extra mailing. Otherwise, it's flat.
Okay, thank you. So that's basically a classification issue. All right. Well, I still say I think it's unrealistic to project a $174,000 increase, frankly, based on what's really going on out there in the nonprofit world and what we're seeing already in our pledge drive. So I personally have some issues with that because I just don't think it's terribly realistic. But I don't know. That's our budgets are frequently not terribly realistic, but I'd like to err on the side of caution. So what was the reasoning that went into increasing listener, is it just based on those additional days of fundraising and the additional mailer? Is that what's supporting that, basically?
Basically, that's it, yeah.
Okay. Okay, are there other questions? I mean, I see some things that need to be fixed where there are categories that don't pan out or something that is in error. Obviously, that should be corrected here before we get it back to vote on. But are there other questions from committee members at this point?
I do.
Is that Alberto?
Oh, yeah, but let Arpal first.
Okay, Arpal, and then Alberto.
I have to say, with the reclassifications and running through, how many tabs are in this thing? 18
yes.
or so? it's hard to see some of this. Plus, at some point in here now, following arguments, I've missed a few things. But, okay. On the budget FY 2011 sheet, cell Q63 is division by zero. That's your mandated correction thing. So we have a division by zero right next to that. And,
what line are you on, Arpal?
This is in the budget FY 11 sheet.
Right.
And cell Q63.
Thank you.
And
mandated corrections.
So what's the issue with that, Arpal?
It's got a reference number instead of a real number.
Okay, but take it out. It means nothing. It wasn't there last year.
Okay, well.
I think it's just an extra plus.
You just change the formula so
I would feel better being able to have more time to look at this thing.
So would I, personally.
Maybe everybody else feels differently and is better at this than I am, but that's just a point. So I'm done.
Thank you. Alberto?
One of the things about the whole budget process, as Simon pointed out, that it technically changes from payday to payday, from cutting checks to cutting checks, from bringing in income. My question to management is, what fallback measures will we have available if the income starts not materializing as we're moving into 2011, as we're going in from October to November to December and onward, and if the income is not materializing, what tools do we have available to adjust?
Arlene or LaVarne, one of you want to take that maybe?
Well, one of the things is that we would have to look at possible additional cuts. There are one or two spots that I can see where that could happen. I think that at that point it would we should have a new manager in place, and we're going to be monitoring not only KPFAs but every budget very closely, starting with the end of the first quarter. And if they're not falling within expected levels, then we're going to have to make sure that expenses do not exceed whatever revenue level we're achieving. And so whatever that means, we will have to do.
And LaVarne.
Go ahead, LaVarne, please.
Okay. I think that at each finance committee meeting, we need to set aside, 30 to 45 minutes just to go over the results each month, to see which one of the stations are out of line, and then you would have your discussions with the general manager and with Arlene to see what their plan is to correct it before it gets out of control. So I think that we need to basically at every finance committee meeting is to put in that review process that we will identify on a monthly basis what's going on. And these are all very good questions about, what do you do if things do not work like you said, with KPFK's fund drive, so the question, we have to put that question out now. What is the plan to correct it? Like with KPFA, I think they're planning to do a short drive or something November, December. In order to correct their shortfall in this past fund drive, like Simon said, although due to the timing, some of the revenue will fall into 2011 versus 2010. But, I still have to review when the credit cards and all the pledges were actually made, because if the pledge was made and it did come in, that revenue should be recognized in 2010 and not 2011. So, those little things we can look at, but definitely, I think as a finance committee, we need to look at those numbers as they come out. We close on the fifth workday, so we should have them definitely by the reports for you to have reviewed by the 10th workday, and to get that process rolling then about what to do to and what the plan is to try to achieve our budget.
Summer Q, please.
I'm sorry, I heard Arpal, and was that John Langer?
It was.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let John go just because he hasn't spoken yet. Go ahead, John, and then Arpal.
Yeah, as a corollary to Alberto's question, it strikes me that we need to have processes which are robust against single points of failure, and we don't have them. So my question would be this, does the KPFK treasurer have access to the
and can visit reading access to the bank account of the station at Berkeley, and does he or she have, I guess he have the access to the checking register so we can follow expenditures and see what's going on. The problem that I see is that, you know, if LaVarne gets hit by a bus or something, then the process is broken and there's no fallback. We don't have a parallel mechanism for recovering from a single point of failure, in a particular process. You know, our foundation should not be vulnerable to single points of failure failures in processes. I think we need to have this access, whether it's NFC access or local treasurer access or something, but we need to have, immediate visibility to see what's going on. Because when you're driving down the road and it starts to go beep, 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 you know, you need to move right now.
But we're supposed to be discussing the KPFA budget, aren't we?
Yes,
yeah.
We are.
Yeah. But I can quickly answer that as far as treasurer access and stuff like that goes. Every station is probably a little different, but being a board treasurer here, the treasurer has zero access and involvement and authority about anything. The treasurer, me, is not a member of the management team, is not even a voting member of the board. I'm practically an outside consultant who voluntarily looks at things and provides some opinions when you can. The management is the sort of place where you look for this, where people have to act, make decisions, react to unusual or unexpected variances, and clearly that's partially the station management first, and also national office management.
Thank you. Paul?
Yeah, very fast. I think I've mentioned this recently even, but the first duty of the LSBs as laid out in the bylaws is to make quarterly reports to the Foundation Board of Directors, the PNB, about the budget, actual income, and expenditures. So, the executive director has said we have to do is something we were supposed to have been doing for the past almost 7 years here. And, I think maybe it needs to be impressed upon the LSBs that they have to do this. I know at BAI, we hadn't been doing that too much. We did one for the second quarter of this year, and the plan is to do one when we get the end of year to do a report on that. But if the PNB would press the LSBs to provide this oversight that's in the bylaws, I think that would go a long way to, one, keeping Pacifica informed of how things are, and two, keeping the LSBs and the stations aware of the situation, which is not rosy at this point.
Thank you, R. Paul. If I might I'm sorry, was that Tracy?
For the stack, you can go.
I wanted to pick up on that, and I do appreciate, frankly, R. Paul, you're the first person in my 3 years on the LSB that's ever said, like, we have these quarterly duty. I frankly think it's going to take a motion from the LSBs to the PNB to the executive director, or maybe we can do it right here out of National Finance, the executive director. The problem isn't the unwillingness of LSBs to report on this. The problem is the unwillingness of management to share data. I mean, we're in an all-out war down here at KPFK, basically, over information and access to it, and we'll discuss our budget. You know, I'd like to bring a couple things up about that when there's a moment, but I think it needs to come from the ED to the management that they're required to supply this data to the local finance committee on, probably a monthly basis so that those quarterly reports can be produced, because we get into a real breakdown where the LSBs are not able to perform their functions at all because they're completely stonewalled by paid staff, and that is a real problem because we are not able to monitor what's going on because we can't get access to anything, and that's been like an ongoing problem here at any rate. So I think that we need to remind LSBs and local finance committees of their duty, and then we as NFC should be enforcing that, and we need the executive director to also enforce it from the management end, that there be cooperation so that we have some hope of doing that. So, Stack? Okay, so Tracy, and then Alberto, please. Tracy?
Oh, hi.
Go ahead, please.
Just as sort of a reality check, and, you know, I understand that this budget is not perfect, and in no way am I advocating that it is,